Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
This is a haunted hotel.
Wrestling Soup. I'm Anthony Michelin Thomas. He is the Josephine Numbers.
Ahoy, ahoy, ahoy.
What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. I'm just settling in the afterglow of all of the big debuts yesterday.
You don't even want to pull punches. Hey, Joe, how's your weekend? Well, you know, it was until I saw Keith fucking Lee debut in AEW.
I'm pulling the opening, the magical door. I'm ripping the door off.
Joe, did a special somebody in your life have a birthday? Yeah, but you know what really ruined it? Keith Lee debuted on AEW Dynamite the other day.
What the hell was what was that all about? This door is starting to look more and more like one of those bead doors from the 1970s. What that door is starting to look like.
Oh, my God, dude. It's painful. It's painful to watch. Dude, I even threw it up on social media. I'm like, dude, I'm not really looking forward to this big debut that everybody's talking about, that everybody's praising, because I didn't expect anything of it. I really didn't. Like, I was more amused with people and news sites that were telling me, hey, it could be Shane McMahon.
Oh, what if it was Shane?
What if it was Shane O'Mac?
Oh, what if it's Bray Wyatt? Oh,
yeah. Braun Strowman was thrown in there. Matter of fact, you know what? Hold up. Let me pull off a list of names. There was a list floating around of fucking names. God. Most popular among the fan picks seem to be Keith Lee and Jeff Hardy, Bray Wyatt, yes. Braun Strowman, Karrion Kross, Scarlett, Samoa Joe.
Yeah. Which, you know what? Oh, I forgot Samoa Joe had been thrown around.
Samoa Joe would have been, actually. You want to talk about somebody that would have said walking through the forbidden door. I think Samoa Joe would have been a real good signing for that. You know, because you could have, like, had him in a match, or you could have had him behind the fucking desk. The guy's talented. Holy shit. You know?
Yeah, we need 15 commentators in this company at this point.
Right. Shane Strickland.
Shane Strickland, yeah.
Yeah, Shane O'Mac.
Yeah. Not a lot of these names, though, let's be fair, are exactly what's the word I'm looking for here?
Door breakers?
High caliber. Yeah.
I mean, they were literally comparing this to CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
not so much.
I mean, casual fans at least know who CM Punk is and Daniel Bryan. I don't know how many casual fans, and it's not a shot on Keith Lee at all. And I want to make that very clear, but I don't even know how many casual fans know who Keith Lee is, and let alone who the fuck Jay White is.
No. Oh God. You're kidding me. Like, I thought that was hilarious. 'Cause I went to make a little bit of a bathroom break.
Yeah.
Because I ate too much cheese. I'll leave it at that. I had too much cheese. And instead of my usual AEW routine, which is folding laundry during Dynamite, instead I was trying to not make more laundry. If you catch my, if you see where I'm going here.
Glad you wore the brown pants, did you?
Oh, well, no. I mean, I just kept myself close and that's all. And so I went to make a quick eruption. And within that time, they're like, oh, my God, Jay White is in the Dynamite Zone. And it's like, Jay White? Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
Jay motherfucking White, straight from NJPW, motherfuckers.
Come on.
Coming hot off the presses at you.
Jesus.
Oh, the other one, too, was, Hit Row. People were saying.
Hit Row?
Yeah. And you know what? I would have at least chuckled at Hit Row.
Yeah, that's true. At least that's funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually just like, you guys, we got something that's going to change everything for you. And you're like, oh, fuck, really? Oh. And you're like, yeah, another group of rappers. Something new in the wrestling world. Guys pretending to rap.
Quadruple H said Mike Bennett's name was on the list, was it? Oh,
fuck yeah.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, thank you, Pat. Maria Manic kicks her fridge in despair. Oh, my God. By the way, somebody sent me a picture of some chick that's down in developmental. I forgot what her name was.
Yeah.
But it's like the saddest thing because it just looks like the things, like it looks like an alternate universe, Maria Manic.
Mm.
Like if she had decided to not get into fucking hard drugs.
Or
like
Teddy Hart, Life before Teddy Hart, you mean? Yes.
Yeah, no shit, right? Like, that's like, oh, this is who you could have been. So very easy.
She was, but she is still gorgeous, but no, I don't even know if that was pre-Schlack, but back when she was like really blondie, she was really cute.
Oh, yeah, she was a pretty woman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, it's just really unfortunate because obviously there was a lot of problems even before all of this shit came and it just, It's just very sad. But no, I mean, I could imagine them sitting there saying,
Tiffany Stratton, is that who you're talking about? Yeah, I can see the.
Is it?
Yeah.
Tiffany Stratton is. Oh, yeah. The girl that does the Clueless gimmick, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
Somebody's
got to be Clueless.
Someone's got to do one of the 8 archetypes of gimmicks that these writers can create.
Mm.
No, it's could you imagine that if they'd have been like, and out comes Hit Row, they're like, yeah, this is good.
You know, the funny thing would have been seeing the audience forced to cheer and applause like it's the greatest thing on earth. I swear to God, those people that are in attendance will just bark like seals if you ask them to.
Oh, yeah.
As long as the Great Khan asks them to, they will bark like seals. They will jump up for their fish and they will do it happily. And that's the problem is, and I got into a discussion about the old Attitude Era with a few people on Discord and stuff like that. We were talking about that. But back in the day, Attitude Era fans, whether you like the fucking era or not, whether you think it's good or not, fans would not hold back how they feel. They would absolutely not give you bullshit. It's almost weird because AEW and WWE now, the fans will bark because it's the company. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, the company. It's a good thing because it's the company. But I mean, you go back to the ECW days. You go back to the fucking Attitude Era days. If something sucked, they let you know it sucked.
Right. Oh, they didn't. Yeah. If they didn't want you there, they let you know.
Right.
They let you know real quick that you didn't belong wherever the hell it was. But I was painting the town brown when this was happening, but what was the general reaction to Jay White? Was the crowd just like,
it was a backstage segment. It was a fucking vignette. It was a backstage segment and they pulled away from it. So, I mean, they only showed the silhouette of him and Cole and everybody else standing around because they got the back shot at first. At first it threw me off. I didn't know it was Jay White. I'm like, or Jay White, Jesus Christ, Jay White. I thought, oh, look, it's Brian Kendrick. Because he has the same like beard and mustache that Brian Kendrick does. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I was actually more excited to see Brian Kendrick than I was Keith Lee.
Oh.
I know,
yeah,
right?
Because you're like, why is he? Yeah. Right. What is he doing here? No, dude, Jay White, I mean, from what I've seen of him, he is like a fourth VHS generation copy of Kenny Omega. So it's just... I mean, at this point,
Jay Brown.
Yeah, Jay Brown. I mean, dude, look at this. Like, just even look at this thing that Phil posted. Like I said, yeah. It looks like this is just this, that's just Kenny Omega. Less, I mean, this in the nice way, more homely with black hair. Like, okay, that's
I gotta more throw homely this.
Kenny Omega with black hair.
I gotta so, throw this out here. Much love to Lee. He's reposting the Tony Khan statement about that. Trust me, we got a few statements for Tony Khan tonight.
Oh, goodness.
Well, on social media, and he said, I didn't secure Jay White until Sunday. I realized after the fact that Friday night I butchered my own definition of Forbidden Door in hyping tonight. I heard the fans' feedback and wanted to ensure that tonight was a special AEW Dynamite for all. Thank you, everyone who watched.
Why even say that?
Because
what does that do?
He's literally 2022 Dixie Carter. Tell me it did not feel like a Dixie Carter announcement. I was having TNA flashbacks.
Yeah, it's getting to that.
Everybody's got to watch Impact tonight because we've got a special announcement, Joey.
Yeah, we've got somebody big to pronounce it. It's like Mike Knox? What?
Oh.
What is this? Well, no, like, dude, and I'm sure, you know, somebody is frothing at the mouth at the idea of being like, who the fuck is Jay White? Because it's like, you don't watch New Japan. What is wrong with you? But it's like, dude, nobody really fucking knows who that is. Like, well, the reason
it doesn't why even matter that. It,
yeah.
You got to look at Jay White on a grander, on a much grander scale, okay? And I understand that there's going to be an absolute niche that are losing their fucking minds at Jay White. They're literally jerking themselves into a coma right now as we even bring up his name. But he doesn't have the mainstream appeal. Jay White is not a name that you're going to get people that were watching WWF back in the 90s going, oh shit, AEW changed again. They brought in Jay White, guys.
Better turn the TV back on.
Right.
Well, no, but that's it. It's like I said, like I see this guy and then I know his association with New Japan Wrestling. And I look and I go, oh, cool. Lenny Omega has showed up. Like, it's just another carbon copy of the, oh, what is this? It's a guy that wears a leather jacket with sunglasses.
Well, we know he's a talented dude. The guy is talented. We understand that he's talented. And for the crowd that AEW reflects, I'm sure there's a lot of people that even in that crowd didn't know who Jay White was.
I guarantee you,
right?
The majority of that crowd.
But they try to play off that AEW fans are the niche within a niche kind of fans. But at the same time, they have this huge, massive mainstream appeal. It's very obnoxious. Obnoxious is the word I'm going to use.
Right. It's like somebody that listens to, let me try to think of it. It's like somebody listening to Papa Roach. And they're like, yeah, he wouldn't listen to what I listen to, bro.
Right.
It's way out on the cusp.
I was listening to Papa Roach back when they were Sun Roach.
Yeah, dude, I was out on the Sun Roach.
That's awful.
You know, move to New Mexico after that joke. Shame on you. Shame on you for that one. No, but like that's what I'm saying. Like you just this just stinks of like some of these guys. Yeah, obviously, like the Kenny Omegas and the Young Bucks and those guys, they were able to be stateside and have an appeal and have like some actual tangible growth as far as like recognition. Jay White is like, who the fuck? Like,
but can we? Okay,
they don't know who he is.
Regardless of Jay White, because Jay White was not the surprise. Jay White was the appetizer. He was the
surprise in the surprise.
But the presentation of Keith Lee, okay, and what I mean by this is the first thing that me and you both were talking about in private, or actually on once again on the Discord join, was the fact that they immediately put him in there with twig and toothpick.
Oh, he dude.
They immediately put him in there with Private Party in a debut match. Like, there was no fanfare. And me and you talked about that, too. I'm like, dude, it should have been just as simple as he comes out, shakes hands with Tony Khan. Maybe they do like a contract signing, and then somebody comes in and fucks with the contract signing, and then you lead up to another, to a match. You lead up to his debut match. Like, this should have been a presentation. You know what I mean? I think that I don't know. Maybe fans are just really on board with it and everything else like that. And that's kudos to them and kudos to Keith Lee for getting the gig. But I really thought the debut was lackluster.
Yeah,
it was fucking lackluster. And Private Party, that's who they give him.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You know, I understand that they absolutely sold like they were being murdered.
Mish. Let's. I have to stop you. Just for this main reason alone. First of all, Keith Lee looked like he had to turn sideways to walk through the forbidden door. If you catch my
drift. See, I wasn't going to go.
And
there,
I love him. And I love him. Love the guy. But you, come on, Mish, you did not look good.
I wasn't going to say, okay, and I agree. Legend Killer, we weren't saying that he should come out there and take out a top talent. We didn't think he should have a match at all. We thought it should be a perfect time to have. And not only that, isn't he still on his fucking honeymoon? Isn't the guy in the middle of his honeymoon? So why in the fuck would you even have him have a match on his honeymoon? I'm pretty sure the guy's a little tuckered out.
Well, Mish, he could have had a match without having a match, if you catch my drift. Why was this remotely competitive? Could anybody on this fucking earth give me an explanation outside of like, this is my friend. We don't want him to look bad. We would hate for the fucking 150-pound guy in the tag team that hasn't improved in 3 years, whose contract's probably not going to get renewed. We'd hate for him to not look good. Dude, that match should have been that huge fucking Beal toss that he took, right?
Yeah.
The guy, and Keith Lee should have walked in a circle, hyping up, rah, 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 rah.
Right.
Fucking, you know, toothpick fucking feeds up in his little pleather pants. He gives him that big fucking finish. He does 1, 2, 3 and flattens him like a fucking pancake.
Totally agree. That's fine.
That should have been it.
That's a match without a match. Totally agree. It should not have been as long as, what was it, like 7 minutes, 8 minutes?
Yeah. Why is this fucking 150-pound nobody running spots with a guy that you're trying to bring in as a fucking destroyer?
Yeah.
Why is that happening? Like I said, other than it's Fwen time, why are we running shit? Like, he's getting in drop kicks. They're trying to do fucking splashes onto him. Oh, but he got it back in the end. You could see the crowd give less a fuck yeah. in that 4 or 5 minutes of him doing stuff, because all it needed to be was Beal toss, finish, 1, 2, 3, big hype.
Yeah, it's not a burial. And let me clarify that too, just in case anybody think that we're saying that PP was buried. PP wasn't buried. You know, it wasn't like that at all. But this really should have been a match to it not. I go with
Listen,
you. I
we
understand.
All want to bury our PP, everybody. And I don't care where you want to bury it.
Sometimes you want
to deserved. This PP deserves to be buried.
Well, he should have been burying it in somebody else's PP, but I really stand by this stance of he really shouldn't have had a fucking match at all. Like the hype that went into this guy and as much adulation as people wanted to give him, I think if he just stood out there, maybe even got a mic and not done the Miro thing. Can I put the little asterisk on that? Not done the Miro thing. Where the first thing he does is talk about how shitty WWE is. If Keith Lee came out there and just fucking was just talked about, you know, he just got married. I'm sure he would have gotten a cheap pop for that. I just got married. I'm on my honeymoon. You know, like he would have gotten the easy pop for that and just told the fans how much he appreciated their support and fucking shook Tony Khan's hand. And then they could have, even if they didn't want to do the contract bit, although I think the contract bit is the way you set it up, but you know, just giving fans that moment to connect with this guy, because a lot of people were worried about him. And I don't mean just because he got shit canned from WWE when people thought that he was going to be the next big thing, but also the COVID shit. You know what I mean? Like there was a health scare going on with him and his wife. Like it would have been enough for him to just come out there and say, thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys supporting me. I fucking love the fact that you still want me to wrestle, and now I'm part of AEW. Now I'm All Elite. You know, like I think that would have been great. I don't know why we had to have the private party match.
This segment was exactly what you get when you try to protect people's feelings more than make stars. This is exactly what you get, where you have this guy once again, who's like 6'9" and 300 pounds, and you want him to be a big star for you.
Yeah.
But we don't want to make the 150-pound tag team wrestler sad. We don't want to bury him. Is it really, by the way, is it really burying if a man twice your size beats you up? Is that burying? Is that embarrassing to you in any capacity? You know what I mean? Like
maybe not to the fans, but I mean, you would know this better than us. What about to the wrestlers?
Well, you're a fucking chode if that's a problem.
Well, but you see what I'm saying? Like to the fans? No, you ask the fans. Well, there's Keith Lee and then there's Private Party. Which one wins?
By the way, what was that kid's name? We don't even, he's been on TV for 3 years. I don't even remember his name. And we're,
oh, the one in the ring. Was that Montez Ford?
No. Oh my god! From his gear, I thought he was. I thought his name was Fruit by the Foot. That's it. Well, this is what pisses me off. Like, look at, he's in this shindy fucking wrestling gear.
Isaiah Cassidy, for everybody, by the way, whoever's listening.
Gives two fucks. Come on. Okay, no one cares. Right. Do we have to pretend they care? No one cares. They don't care about this team. They don't care about the act. It's not over. It didn't get over. They tried to make it work. Now they have actual people coming in that look like fucking grown-ups that could hurt people.
Yes, absolutely.
And Tony Khan has to sit there and be like, oh, no, that's okay. Make sure you get an – you let fucking Isaiah fucking two sticks there. Old Isaiah the toothpick get his fucking moves in. Bullshit, pathetic, loser Mark bullshit. Beat him in fucking 30 seconds. And if you
just have Keith Lee wipe his ass with both of them, like,
yes, yeah. This is one of the big reasons why I hate this. Fuck this, dude. This show is 1,000 times more entertaining than Raw, and I still hate so much of it.
See, I disagree with you on that, but that's just because of what I like. So I still think Raw is way, way, way more entertaining than anything Dynamite is doing. Anything. Come on. Their fucking champion goes on Twitter tonight and says, man, I really hate bleeding every month. And it's like, Well,
wait, who said that?
Hangman.
Hangman Page?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Hangman
that's Page. That's a real... And I mean, I'm not shitting on the guy. Like, directly, I like Hangman Page. I wish he was fucking used better. I mean, he is the champion of the fucking company. But, I mean, that's what he's resorted to. Hey, it's not like he can sit there and talk about, you know, I'm going to have a great match coming up. No, he's got to make fucking period jokes, I guess. That's the only way for him to get retweeted.
This is what, dude, once again, another reason why I just can't open shows. I don't want to get bloody. Then don't be a wrestler. Go home. Go home. I don't want to get punched in the face. Then you're in the wrong field.
Yeah, that is kind of a weird, that is a weird career choice. If you don't like getting punched in the face, why are you a wrestler?
You know what? I'm really skeeved out by feet. Why don't I be a podiatrist? You fucking idiot. Go home. Like, I'm just, I can't not have some level of, like, disgust and annoyance with this shit.
Yeah.
Like, I just find it so fucking just dumb.
Oh, dude, I don't know about that. Hangman's Raid is better than Omega's, dude. I don't know. I think they're both kind of bad.
They're both duds.
I think they're both kind of bad, and I don't know why. It's like, let's be fair to AEW for a second. They have done a great job of building both of these guys up until they got to the title. It's the weirdest fucking thing. It's like, as soon as they get the title, they have no fucking clue how to keep them hot.
Well, to be fair, WWE has the same problem too. And all they're doing at this point is kind of like,
Roman is really buzzing a lot of people, dude. Let's be honest here. The whole Brock thing has got people pissed off because they look at him as a placeholder, a temporary champion and stuff like that. And we understood that. Bobby Lashley now has the title after Royal Rumble and stuff. And I don't think Bobby gets as much love, but it's weird. It's like every time Bobby and MVP start to get some real buzz going, it's like they rip the rug out from underneath them and have them do nothing for 3 weeks. I don't understand why they're doing that. But Roman Reigns has a full buzz going, you know?
Well, that's because this is a company now that has learned to book one at a time. Like, that's all they have at this point. Like, they're like, one at a time. We can book one at a time.
But fucking Hangman Page should be all over the place. You're talking about a brand new company with brand new fans, with a brand new fan base on a brand new fucking network. Like, everything should be sparkling fucking new. Even their title is sparkling new. They should be pushing the boundaries of wrestling itself because there's nobody to stop them. And yet they have stale champions. What the actual fuck is that?
Well, because, well, Mish, it's really hard when your whole show has to revolve around who's coming in this week. Who's showing up? Like,
you
can't tell the story of a champion and their plight and the difficulty of, you know, keeping their title or people are chasing them and pursuing them when the only story that they're telling is like, who's coming for Christmas? Like, that's that's the whole entire show's theme at this point. Like, who's gonna show up?
Yeah.
And by the way, I love, like, one of the things that I love now at this point about AEW as a whole is this, like, Tony Khan just throwing more and more people at you. He just shows more of, like, his rich kid existence.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, hey, I would like to fix this marriage, but instead I'm just going to throw diamond rings at you and hope that will make the problems go away.
Well, I mean, when it comes to the fucking contracts, I mean, let's be fucking honest here. Tony Khan did an interview earlier with, I forget what the actual company was. It's TV Insider, right? And when it came to the topic of contracts, which is actually a real big fucking deal right now, Tony Khan stated, when we started, a lot of people had contracts that were a couple of years long, and a lot of them are coming up. I have really tried hard to be very considerate of the people on the roster, especially those going through the pandemic.
Oh.
That encompassed a long period of time where we were still in our first year of television and then going into our second. I kept a lot of people under contract, even though I wasn't necessarily using them on television, because I wanted them to still have paying work, which was hard to come by for wrestling during the pandemic, where there weren't any independent shows. Really, Only two places were running, and the other place was cutting people left and right. I did want to give some job security to people. Now with so many wrestlers coming in, I can't renew all the contracts. I've had to make some tough choices based upon ability, fan response, or both. I try to maintain the best roster that I can for the company and for the fans.
Well, if that's the case, he would have fired 25 people by now.
Well, also coincidentally, this was exactly the same thing that Schindler said in World War II when he had to try and choose who was going to.
Oh, he had to make his. What was that? What movie was that?
It was a list of some sort, some kind of a.
Well, we already talked about Christmas earlier.
The cuts are coming, and people are going to lose their fucking minds.
There's so many people in that company that could, should, would have been fired.
It wasn't that long ago that we did the fucking roster breakdown. It was only like about 2 months ago.
Yeah. And by the way, there was a lot more people that we could have gotten. There's a lot more people that we could have fired had we known that all these other people were going to show up too.
Yeah.
Mish, at this point, I'd fucking fire Miro.
I know.
Like, see you later. Like, he's done nothing. He's been gone for fucking how long? He got his chance. He had his big chance in the company. And he fucking puked on himself. And it's done. He's gone now. Bye-bye. Like, this is what it's got to be. Like, Sean Spears, you had your big chance. You failed. Bye-bye. Like, even these people they brought in, some of the ex-WWE people and the people that had a big fucking build around them, they fucking failed. So they got to go.
Yeah.
They got to go.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wrestling Soup. Motherfucker.
Zoider throws in a fucking little side question here that I want to ask. Would you guys renew Jericho?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely I would.
Jericho's the best champion they've had at this company at this point, and that's sad.
I'm not even looking at it like that. I'm like, Jericho's a radio show host. He does his cruises. He's kind of the face of the company. And even though he got a shit ton of flack from NBA fans, he's still recognizable as one of those AEW guys that WWE fans will instantly recognize. So whatever they're paying Jericho, continue to keep paying it.
I see them paying Jericho the same way I see WWE right now paying Drew McIntyre for the next X amount of years.
Which
is Well, no. That's it.
All right.
This is why I make that comparison.
That's true.
I say because Drew ate that shit sandwich.
Yeah.
Jericho, in spite of the fact that he was, you know, fiscally doing just fine by this time, he could have started to make his way out of the business. He did take a chance.
Oh, he did. He absolutely did. And he went full in, too. I will be fair. Jericho immediately adopted AEW as his brand.
Yeah. He was very, I mean, like that. He was a company guy. He went all in on them, no pun intended. Yeah. And it really isn't. And by the way, I'll say the same thing about Punk, too. If I'm going to sit here and give this company shit for a half an hour, I'm also going to have to give credit where it's due. And when I see it, Jericho has gone all in and has for years and puts in the work. He tries. He really does. And Punk, ever since he's come back, too, Punk works fucking hard in these matches. He looks good. I'm not going to – I can't say otherwise. Punk's, what, 44 years old right now?
Is he that old? Yeah, 44.
He looks good. For a guy that didn't wrestle for 7 years, he looks fucking good. He tries. He goes – he could go in there and do his – he knows exactly what he's going to do to not work. He knows.
Right.
But he does it. He goes in there. He works hard. The match that they had last night, him and Moxley had with FTR, was very, very good. I really thought that was a fucking good match. It was the best thing on the show. But that's what I'm saying. Like, there are these guys like a Punk who it's like, you know, Punk got paid out the ass to be there, but he's doing the job. Jericho's getting paid out the ass to be there, but he's
there. There are definitely people that earn their paycheck. I don't think anybody's going to disagree when you say Punk. Nobody's going to disagree when you say Daniel or Brian Danielson. Right, nobody's going to disagree when you say a lot of guys. But the problem is there's a lot of guys on here that are under St. Khan that we don't understand. And I guess it comes down to how they build things. So my problem is, like I said earlier, they build a champion. They build a guy up to be the representation of the company. And then when he gets there, they ignore it. Dude, what was it? Hangman Page didn't wrestle for a month after he won the title.
Right. Well, this is another one of those things where we, and I hate to sound fucking like Bubba Ray Dudley in this moment, but it's really the truth. There's no real way around it. It's like, dude, if they put the belt on you, you got to be there. And I'm not just saying like, oh, I don't think he probably was like, I want to go home and be with my kid, but give me the belt. Maybe it's a mix. Maybe Tony Khan is sitting there and he's like, I got to show off my new toy collection. And he forgets that fucking Adam Page exists and Adam Page sits at home. I don't know if that's the case. Or maybe Adam Page looked at him and was like, I'm going to take the belt and then go home and hang out with my wife and baby.
Yeah.
It's like, in either way, it's like, so you end up with two cases here. You end up with a guy that shouldn't have the belt because he clearly has the mindset. And I'm sure someone would say he puts his family first. Shut up. You know what I'm fucking saying.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. You don't think every other goddamn fucking American, every other person on the planet wouldn't rather be at home than go to work?
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, what fucking statement is that shit? Oh, he puts his family first. Don't you think everybody would like to do that? Everybody that works and has a family?
Yeah. Is there no...
You know what? I'll even go further. I'll say motherfuckers that don't even have a family but have a cat. Or a dog at home. I think they would rather spend the day with their cat or their fucking dog than go to work.
Yeah, no shit. You think, you know what? I think there's plenty of people around here that would rather be around family members they don't like than go to work some days.
Right.
Or most days. But that's, no, like that to me is a great cover up for like just not doing your shit.
Yeah.
It's being like, what do you want him to do? Not be around his family? It's like, yeah, dude.
It sucks. But nobody walked into the wrestling business going, man, I can't wait to be in the wrestling business. I get to spend so much time with the wife and kids.
Yeah, I can't wait to sit at home. At this point, if you're going into wrestling and your mindset of it is just like all this time off, and all this, like, I'm going to be home. Like, it's like, dude, you didn't. Did you read the monster.com listing?
Like, can you, read any autobiography by any wrestler, please?
Yeah. Do you have any background on what this is whatsoever? Like, it's just like that's like going into the football world and being like, you know what? I can't wait for no concussions.
Yeah.
I can't wait for I'm never going to have any injuries. My back's going to feel great. My knees. Oh boy. I can't wait to be ham boning away. In my 80s, it's like, no, you're going to be in pain. This is what you signed up for. I'm sorry, but this is the life that you chose, and it is what it is.
But you know what, Joe? Let's flip the topic a little bit, because in that same vein, while we're talking about champions, it's also a good time to say that if you want to be an AEW champion, you can get a replica title on shopaew.com. That's right. Now you can have an entire crowd of champions that get pushed the same as the current champion what are they doing? A cool $799.
Oh, wait. I think I have some cheese coming.
A cool $799. Only twice the price of being a WWE champion.
What is it? $800 basically?
$800, yeah.
That's it? Only $800 for the replica belt?
Yeah.
Ah, good. Well, you know what? It's we can attest that to him. Well, somebody's got to pay for, what was that guy's name? Squiggles McGee that just came out as Cody. Somebody's got to pay for his contract.
Yes.
Right? Somebody's got to pay for it. And it's going to be you if you want one of those replica belts.
Fuck, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. $800 for a replica belt. Yeah. Well, this is, Mish, this is what happens when your fan base is fanatical. You can set that kind of rate and people will go, oh, good, great.
And they will too. You know what?
And they will.
And those fans will buy it. They could have two WWE belts, maybe three, depending on if you're like dealing with like the women's title or old tag team titles or something. But you can get two WWE belts or one AEW belt. But on a side note, so we were talking before about Becky doing the Broken Skull sessions and stuff like that, and how it was kind of like adequate. But he's got Ron Simmons on next week.
Oh, nice.
Dude, I'm looking forward to that. Seriously, because the one thing we were talking about is the best thing about Steve Austin interviews is when he's actually in there with somebody he knows, somebody that he's wrestled against. And Ron Simmons clearly is going to be a guy that's going to be so much fun. I really
He's like, he's very upfront.
Oh yeah.
He's a no bullshit guy. Like he's very well known as being a dude that, you know, you're going to ask him a question, he's going to give you an answer, and he's going to be as straightforward as possible. So this will be an entertaining one.
It'll be his first time doing an in-depth interview with WWE. We know he did one with High Spots. Did he might have done with one with RF too. Oh, back in the day, I'm not sure. I know he did one with High Spots, but this will be the first time that he does it with Steve on WWE. It's going to be fucking good, man.
You know, I hope that they get into some more of the real shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I hope they get into that. I'm kind of... Well,
what do you want him to talk about, out of curiosity?
Oh, dude, come on. He's seen some crazy shit, dude.
I mean, the WCW days, even pre-WCW days and shit.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about, like, this is a guy that saw some wild... He was around some wild times. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the 80s and the 90s, especially like the late 80s, early 90s in wrestling in the South. Like, this dude's going to have some, if you can ask him the right questions and make him feel comfortable and get some good answers out of him, that'll be a hell of a fucking interview.
I think it'll be good anyways. Cause I mean, okay. So now besides WCW, you know, and was Steve part of UWF? No.
I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like, I want to know if they had like some times together before all of the big shows. You know, I bet you those stories will be fun. That's what I want to fucking hear.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at this point now where, especially when it's any sort of interview with the older wrestlers, I don't need to hear any more stories about being like, oh, so what was this match like? And it's like, it was pretty crazy. Like, I'm like, no, dude, like I want to.
Right.
Let's hear about your life. Like, that's where the meat is here. Like, I'd rather have Ron Simmons tell me about what his favorite food was on the road and like, right. You know, like what shit he would like.
How'd you sustain yourself back in the 80s, Ron? Yeah.
Right? me and the boys used to buy rotisserie chickens and sneak them into the movies. And we saw RoboCop. Like, I want to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about some fucking match he had in 1990. Like, I want to hear like the funny, like good.
The
like,
road shit.
Yeah. Like, to me, that's entertaining. Like,
that's the bonding part. I want to know, the people that he bonded with over the years. Like, who are the people that Ron always felt had his back and why? You know, that shit's cool. Because then you like to know that the people that you like had good relationships with people that you didn't expect.
Oh, that's a big, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that is always fun. Well, I think that's one of the reasons why there's certain, you know, men and women in wrestling, especially after they pass, where you hear things about them. And, you know, everybody always, this person was nice or this person was great. But like, those to me are some of the most interesting stories. Not that you're, you know, glad whatever happened to them, but like those eulogized tales of somebody reflecting back on someone and telling you the type of person they are.
Yeah.
That's usually when you're getting the highlight reel of that person's life from the perspective of the people that knew them best. And to me, that's fascinating. I think that's incredibly interesting when you can hear those stories.
Absolutely. And stories, you know, about like people that helped them along the way, or maybe stories from like, you know, some guy who was a referee that told them to get out of the business, but they stayed forward and went ahead and became women's champion. Yeah. You know,
and then they ended up in the fucking Mandalorian.
and their uncle just happened to buy all of Death Row Records this week, you know, just
We can definitely talk about that, but how funny is it? You know, like the Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
You know, the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever. How funny is the idea of right around the same time when Bill Burr left us an iTunes review, I was telling Sasha Banks to not get into the wrestling business, and then they both ended up together in Star Wars.
That's fucking awesome, isn't it?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like when you sit there and you run through that whole like Rolodex of like, how do these people end up together? Like him sitting there and being like, this show's pretty fucking good.
Well, it was even weirder though when Bill Burr, like, I don't know if you saw the cutscenes, but when Bill Burr did a shout out to Golden Corral and to make sure to watch TNA every Thursday night at 9 p.m. and then he blew his brains out. It was wild, man. It was a wild scene. Disney cut it though. I don't know why he did that, but
yeah, he's like, dude. Go to the fucking Golden Corral, dude. Wow, we have a whole entire generation of people that are listening now that don't remember that.
No fucking
clue.
That being
on iTunes. Yeah, that was in like 2011, maybe.
This was the early days of his Monday morning podcast and everything else like that, you know?
Yeah. And there was like 15 wrestling podcasts worth of shit at that time.
Mm.
Now there's like, you know, 10. Somehow there's less. Yeah. I don't know. Happened.
I still love that, dude. I still have that fucking picture saved. I screenshotted that fuck because I know everybody's like, "Oh, that's not Bill. Bill Burr would listen to you fuckheads." Well, maybe Joey is a Boston guy for fuck's sakes. Why not? You know,
in that time, it's very possible. I mean, that's
that was right around the time we went to the Stitcher Awards. Yeah, no, we were doing okay.
Well, that's it. And it, by the way, it has like nothing to do with even us, like us being like, we're fucking great. Like,
right.
At that time, there was just way less podcasts. There were way less people having long conversations about shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like you could bum stumble into somebody's stuff pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty easily at that time. Like I said, as opposed to now where it's just like, you know, there's 450 million fucking podcasts and it is what it is.
450 million podcasts.
There's
as many
podcasts as dollars that Tony Khan wastes on his roster.
I remember when AEW first came into fruition and we were watching it on WGN. The first thing I said, I think even with me, you and John, I'm like, God, how many podcasts are starting up tonight?
Oh, yeah.
It was literally the first thing I said. I'm like, how many podcasts are starting right now?
Do you remember when, like, you know, whatever city you're living in, they're like, the snowstorm is 78 or whatever. And they're like, man, how many babies were getting made during that snowstorm? for us, it's like, hey, remember that fucking pay-per-view that Ring of Honor made? Then fucking Cody and all them stabbed them directly in the face. Stole it. Asshole. Stole their fucking thing. Remember when that happened? Yeah, that's when all the babies were made.
Oh, Jeremy.
Podcast babies were made.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
So on another side for Becky, I mean, obviously got to talk a little bit about her, but Ric Flair had some choice words for Becky Lynch. Let me see if I can pull these up here. I had them right in front of me, but I lost them at some point. What the fuck?
Wait, Becky Lynch had choice words for who?
No, Ric Flair had choice words for Becky Lynch. My apologies. Oh,
Ric Flair's a fucking idiot.
So he took another shot.
Breaking news.
Yeah, I know. But he took another shot at her on her on his podcast, calling her generic and criticizing her for calling Ronda Rousey Ronnie. That was the thing in her feud. He says, she's not Ronnie. She's Ronda Rousey. Anybody that's stupid enough to call her Ronda or Ronnie and make a joke of her presence and what she brings to the company is out of their mind. How about thank you, Ronda? Thank you for showing up because I'm not the man anymore. I'm generic. Who am I? Big time Bex? The last kicker? I don't know.
Yeah, he's just saying shit now to say it. He doesn't. Come on. Come on. This is him just, he's just doing this.
He's not wrong, Beck. He's a little generic. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I think the Ronnie thing, it's like, all right, relax, Rick. It's not that fucking big of a deal.
Right. That's that. That was
she that took part's that, silly.
She lifted that directly from The Rock. Like, that's what The Rock used to do.
But the fact that Becky's a little generic since she came back, I mean,
he's not wrong in that sense.
No. I mean,
but I don't think, but Mish, I don't even think that's what he's referencing. He's just saying whatever shit he can so people will listen to his show on Conrad's network and he can make enough money to pay off his debts. That's all he's doing at this point.
Mark, no, like, he's with Mark Madden. They're doing their own thing. Mark Madden.
Same difference.
Mark Madden, at least I give him respect. He's a radio guy, like a proper fucking real terrestrial radio guy. Had been on the air doing sports for fucking ever. Like, he's proper. He's trying to keep. So I've made comments to Mark Madden before a few times now saying people don't understand how hard your job is. And I don't mean that in the Nikki Bella sense, because Ric Flair is all over the place. Trying to keep Ric Flair's attention is like trying to keep an infant's attention.
Well, he's 1,000 and has had 1,000 concussions.
Oh my God. You know, Mark Madden is like at the point now. So I swear to God, I watch some of these streams and I'm like, Mark Madden, just dangle some keys, man. Just jangle some fucking keys at the camera and he'll just pay attention.
And instead of Ric Flair pretending like he watches wrestling anymore, I would prefer if he was like, hey guys, you ever take your colostomy bag off and put it over a lampshade and watch it spin around like a lava lamp?
It's like a shitty lava lamp. That's great.
I would rather listen to Ric Flair talk about making colostomy bag lava lamps than anything he has to do with wrestling.
Mark Madden tries so hard to keep his attention though. And I'll be fair. You know, there are some weeks that Ric Flair, he's clearly taking his vitamins for the week and he's up and he's alert. And there's just sometimes that man needs an extra helping of Metamucil. I swear to fucking God.
You ever shot to yourself that, now you could say, now you got no teeth now. I wish I was as limber as I was when I was a young man, if you catch my drift. Not having cheese.
Well, do you think he was able to self-gratify during the days on Space Mountain?
Oh, oof.
I mean,
I don't know about
there's
that.
A party trick that Ric Flair can do.
Yeah, I think he's had enough party tricks to. I think him thinking he was doing party tricks is what got him into a lot of trouble.
I think that's party favors, not party tricks. But sure, we'll let it slide.
No, party favors is the reason why he's been alive on those podcasts in the past couple of months. As much as
oh, shit. Oh my god, dude.
He's like, I like to mix some fiber one with my cocaina mixed with Ensure.
He's eating his Metamucil and yogurt. With his fucking Xanax.
I drink some Ensure. You ever had Ensure?
No, I haven't had.
Looks
that
like
one.
It's good. Looks
like I am doing shake. The yogurts though. I do eat the probiotic yogurts. They start with an A. Fuck, I forgot.
Activia.
Activia, yes.
Ah, you got the yogurt that was put over by what's her name there? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Ah, yes, somebody who's regular.
Lee Curtis, when she's not, you know, beating unstoppable monsters in her 70s, she's making sure you take solid BMs.
Well, you always got to be ready for the Terminator, Joe.
That's right.
You never know when the Terminator's
she
coming.
She was Michael Myers.
Oh, that's the other one. That's right. It was Sarah Connor that fought Mike Myers.
Now, Linda, imagine if Linda Hamilton was sitting there and she's just like, hey, you know, I fought the Terminator.
Let's just switch spots and see if anybody notices.
That would actually be really funny if they just switched them out in the next. Well, that last Halloween was so absolutely fucking god awful. Yeah. I think they could have put a road cone in for poor Jamie Lee Curtis and nobody would have known. What a shit movie.
We are having such a positive show tonight. I'm enjoying it.
Hey, you know what? When it rains, it pours.
That's right. That's right.
And I think, you know what? I think we've been plenty positive.
Yeah, sure.
I think we've said some real nice things.
Even HIV positive.
I said Ric Flair is making a new, he's creating lava lamps, and that CM Punk tries his best.
Mm-hmm.
And John Moxley did good. He had a good show. And Raw is, all right, so maybe we're not that positive.
Mm-hmm. Raw isn't the worst thing on television every week. I still enjoy I really like Bobby Lashley. I do. I like Bobby Lashley and MVP. I thought they were good out there. I really enjoy Riddle and Randy. I know you're not really big into that, but man, those guys are fucking great. I do miss Omos though. Omos I don't know, MIA. Like, where the fuck has he been?
What happened? Do you think he might have gotten injured or something?
At the Royal
it's probably
Rumble?
Pretty easily to get hurt. It's probably pretty easy to get hurt when you're that fucking big.
No, probably the exact opposite. Why your bones are bigger and stronger than little people bones.
Yeah, but if they land wrong, your tendons and shit, like he's got to, dude, let me tell you, he's got to be stretching out like a lunatic before he gets out in the ring.
Because
if that dude pulls a muscle, that would not be good. If he tears an ACL, what the hell are they going to replace it with? Fucking jumper cables? It's gigantic.
Just walks out to the back by the fucking trucks. Just starts ripping cables out of the fucking engine.
They're like, sir, you tore a ligament in your knee and we have decided to replace it with an elephant's trunk. We got nothing else. We don't know what to do.
Oh, what else? Bryan Danielson was announced for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The ROH Hall of Fame.
That would be funny if he went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah. His one hit wonder, yes.
Ooh. Ah, he went in with the band, yes.
Yeah.
At least that's cute and quirky. Wait,
owner of a lonely heart. Yes. Church, yes. Yes.
Wait a second. ROH has a Hall of Fame right now?
So,
oh God, this is scary that took such a pause.
Former WWE champion joined Ring of Honor in 2002 and is considered one of the founding fathers of the company, having competed in the very first main event of ROH along with Christopher Daniels and Low-Ki. Danielson worked for ROH for 7 years before he departed the indie promotion to work for WWE in late 2009. He last wrestled for ROH in September of 2009, winning his match against Nigel McGuinness at Glory of Honor 8, the final countdown. The man known as American Dragon now joins Jay and Mark Briscoe of the Briscoe Brothers as inductees into the newly created ROH Hall of Fame. Additional names will be announced on Valentine's Day and February 21st.
Hmm. Well, you see, what happened was they wanted to start a physical location for the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame, but they couldn't. They wanted to put statues in it, and they couldn't find a place with low enough ceilings.
Oh, see, you know what I was thinking? That the prices at public storage were just too high for the month, so they were looking for a better deal. That's what I thought it was.
See, well, you know what? They are centered in Baltimore, I still believe, technically. So they could probably find themselves a house for $8.
you know, they could actually have ROH's Hall of Fame in Detroit, Joey, and Detroit would pay them. They would pay them to actually have the ROH Hall of Fame there.
In Detroit, Hall of Fame
pay you.
Detroit pay for fame of Hall. Yeah, that's, oh boy. You know what's funny about there being a Ring of Honor Hall of Fame is that at least half of the people that are going into it, it's just so sad.
Oh, I thought you were going to say homeless, but
well, that's,
I mean.
They're like, could I live here, please? the only Hall of Fame with cots in the back.
Yes.
For people that have been entered into it. Brutal. That's probably one of the saddest things about ROH having a Hall of Fame is the absolute like woulda, coulda, shoulda people that are going to be entered into it. It's like, yeah, for every Punk and Danielson that you're sitting there like, oh, big star Samoa Joe, you're looking at like at least five people. You're like, oh, that's sad.
What happened to them?
Like there's a lot of really. Really fucking not so good stories surrounding ROH.
Well, at the same time,
like top to bottom, you know?
Yeah.
もうすぐレスリングスープが始まるから、いい子にしててね。
I like that shirt!
ProWrestlingTees.com/WrestlingSoup
At the same time, Matt Hardy actually addressed why Jeff turned down the Hall of Fame. So Jeff Hardy refused to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Talked about this a few days ago. After he was released from WWE, he received a call to see if that he would agree to be inducted into the Hall of Fame on this April. So down in Texas, Jeff refused and Matt gave a detailed reason as to why. According to Matt, Jeff asked WWE if the induction was going to be him and Matt as the Hardy Boys together. And the answer was obviously no, because Matt is under an AEW deal and can't appear on WWE television. And Jeff said, well, then that's a hard no. Yeah. He definitely stood up for the team of the Hardy Boys, Matt said. Speculation running rampant that Jeff will be the one appearing tomorrow, blah, 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 for the Forbidden Door. Well, that didn't want to happen. But yeah, that's the idea, is that Jeff didn't want to go in without his brother. Now, I guess this leaves the door open to the idea of, was Jeff's solo career enough for him to be inducted into the Hall of Fame twice?
I mean, because, I'd say yes.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I'm like, I don't think anybody's going to deny the Hardy Boys a Hall of Fame induction. That's fucking silly. But right. does but Jeff have enough clout with the fans, or at least the appearance of it as a singles guy, to be that Hall of Fame inductee?
Nish, look at the assholes that go into this Hall of Fame now. Come on. I mean, come on. If Jeff Hardy can't make it into the Hall of Fame by himself, then there's a problem. I mean, we're really, I can't even think off the top of my head the amount of people that I just kind of like cringed at. Like Tori Wilson.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett is in the Hall of Fame. Jeff Jarrett is in the Hall of Fame. I'm fairly certain that Jeff Hardy, who was one of the most over wrestlers of the past quarter of a century, like he gets to go in the Hall of Fame.
Well, do you think it was a little odd that when he mentioned the Hardy Boys that they didn't throw Lita's name in there at all?
Didn't Lita already get her induction?
As a part of the Hardy Boys? No.
No, just as Lita.
As Lita, yes, but not as the Hardy Boys.
Nah.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the singles. I'm saying Lita as part of the Hardy Boys. Team Extreme.
No, she got in there, dude.
Yeah, that's no, fine. She got in by herself.
I get it. But like what it all comes down to in this situation is that I fully understand where Jeff Hardy is coming from here, because it really, like, that act is that act.
Sure.
No matter what, you could say, like, yes, he was one of the most over guys, like, unquestionably from 1997, 1998 in that company until what, 2000? When did he go to shitty TNA? 2007?
Yeah, sounds about right.
2007, 2008, yeah. And then he came back and they were still fucking over the moon.
Kevin Castle says, X-Pac is in three times now. Come on, guys.
Yeah, good point.
All right, fair enough. Sorry.
X-Pac's got like a pimp ham and a pimp hand.
He's got a pimp ham. Yes.
He's got a pimp
ham. I want a pimp ham.
Oh, my God. No, I like X-Pac, too, but. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, X, you know what? If X-Pac wants to have his own ham, I'm fine with that.
And if his ham just happens to slap some bitches along the way, I'm okay with that, too. It's fine.
Judging it. I mean, this is a man who ripped his asshole in half.
Yes.
For our entertainment.
This is true. This is true.
That happened to him. He tore his rectum doing a Bronco Buster and then did it again.
No. Like, what?
I mean, that's another type of human being. Okay. Mm. He deserves three Hall of Fame inductions. I say give him another. I say give his asshole another one. X-Pac and Brian Knobb's asshole should go in as a collective tag team with the Hardy Boys.
Oh, I did have this other piece. I mean, I guess we could talk about it a little bit. So
yeah.
There was a report filing for Tony Khan that happened that he's snapping about. Somebody could probably screen cap the shit. But apparently in Florida, there was a false reporting that Tony Khan attempted to join Congress or to be considered for Congress. And here's the actual link to it, which is kind of funny when you look at it. Like, pretty much his home is Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium. Like, so they didn't have his home. So they're like, yeah, he just lives on the stadium. He just lives in the fucking stadium.
He lives in the stadium.
But, I mean, he snapped about it. And he got all fucking butthurt at the site that reported it, which was like an NFL show. And it's like, dude, they didn't put this in there. This was put back in what, September of 9/13. Yeah, September 13th, 2021. And it was signed as Mr. Tony Khan. And it was really funny, too, because I didn't realize that if you want to be a part of Congress in Florida, you don't even need a state ID.
Oh, that's so good.
That's really wild to me that pretty much anybody can sign anybody to join Congress in Florida, at least.
Well, I mean, in a state like Florida, where we know that leadership and intelligence is bountiful, I'm particularly surprised by this discovery. Nice. I figure in Florida, if you can spell Congress, they give you your own city to run. They actually just.
I just thought he wanted a title like Duke Tony or Lord Khan.
Well, you know what he wanted to do was he wanted to join it and call it the Congress.
Ah,
K-H-A-N.
That's right.
G-R-E-S-S. Congress. Can you use that in a sentence? X-Pac likes to eat ham at the Congress.
Pimp ham at the Congress.
Pimp ham Congress.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, of course, because Tony Khan has no ability to like control his emotions.
Well, he jumped on. He said, Joe, he said, the fact-checking standard for pro football talk reporting is far lower than that of AEW's roving reporter Tony Schiavone. I'm definitely not running for the Congress. This filing is faker than Eddie Gilbert's apology to Tommy Rich in 1984. PFT sources are trustworthy as the MJF.
Do you think that people that actually follow football read that? They were like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
Football people like Tommy Rich. Did he play for Cleveland? Is that
do you think that people that actually follow football look at him and just not imagine being a Jackson Jaguars?
Oh, yeah. Who does MJF play for? Is he a baseball guy?
Imagine your team is constantly tanking. It is a humongous fucking disappointment on every level. And the owner of the company is sitting there and he's like, remember that time Eddie Guerrero hit the chair on the mat and then fell down and pretended like the guy hit him with the chair? That was awesome.
But that's
the guy who owns your football team.
But it's the but you're missing the fucking inadvertent comedy of Tony Khan is talking to football people and he's using wrestling terms because he doesn't know shit about football. Like he's literally talking to football guys. Like you want to emasculate football guys, hit him with football knowledge, hit him right back at it, you know? And he uses wrestling terminology and wrestling shit on football people. Oh, he's just so awful.
He's like sick burn. They're like, what? What is what? You know what? That's like somebody that, you know what this is? This is the stupid version of like that guy Shelton, whatever, from fucking Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Like if he walked in, he was like, you have the diameter of a month, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, ha 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 ha. And you're like, wow, man, that really hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Wow. That really got me where it hurts. what a sad state of events. Congratulations to the Jacksonville Jaguars once again on getting the second year of getting the first overall draft pick. That is a feat.
So I have one last thing to talk about, and this time it involves Stephanie McMahon. So when WWE was doing all of their financial reports for the end of the year and stuff like that during the investor call, there was a thing that was brought up that we didn't really get a chance to talk about. And it was WWE is headed to the metaverse in the future, Joe. The metaverse is described as the sum of all virtual spaces or a network of 3D virtual worlds focused on social connection, ergo WWE. There has been increased buzz around the word over the last 2 years, especially after Facebook Meta Platforms chairman Mark Zuckerberg declared a company commitment to launching their own metaverse in 2021. An investor asked WWE about the metaverse, and Stephanie chimed in. She took the question and revealed that the company is actively involved in and investigating metaverse opportunities. She said, "Why, yes. We are absolutely exploring the metaverse as an opportunity for WWE, especially as the theory unfolds. That's where we really want, where more and more people are going to connect and socialize. WWE is a community-based business. It's all about our fans coming together to share this experience. We think there's huge opportunities to expand upon that in the metaverse itself. However, in terms of approach, we're doing our due diligence. We're meeting with various different partners. We're learning as much as we can. We don't want to be hasty in this space. This being said, we certainly don't want to be behind. We always like to be slightly ahead of the curves. Okay. So it is something that we are actively involved in and investigating and looking into.
Jesus Christ, just make a good show. Make one. Can you make one good show? Good God. They're like, what if we put it in an alternate dimension? Make one show. Make one entertaining show. Do that before you start worrying about entering into the, whoa, we're going into outer space. Like, motherfucker, like, climb up those stairs first. Like, what are you doing?
Outer space.
Is that? Oh, yes. It's. Hello, it is me, Alberto Del Rio. I am in the metaverse. In the metaverse, I am a good person. Here I get to be a good person in the metaverse. I put on my helmet and I go into the metaverse. And there I am not. All of a sudden I am Sebastian the Crab. I don't know why. I am Jamaican. I am Jamaican Alberto Del Rio.
In the outer spoosy.
It's me, Drew.
No!
I'm in space. I'm in space with a sword.
Dude, could you imagine if they're going to start doing matches? That's the... The front side of it is people are thinking that WWE is just going to have like the WWE universe is going to be a video game and everybody can be involved. No, I see wrestlers like Twitch, like they wanted, interacting with fans inside this metaverse, right? And they're going to have 3D like avatars and people with like the fucking knuckles, you know what I mean? Just sniffing up Sasha Banks' leg all the time. Oh, queen, she know the way.
It's me, Drew. It's me, Drew, Mish. Don't forget I'm here. It's me. I can't wait to win the title in front of fucking nobody. In space.
Outer space.
I'm going to win the title again in space. Maybe if I win the title in the Andromeda Galaxy, there I'll be over. Me and Seamus, we're gonna go pick up moon rocks. In the other world, I am a king. It's Seth Rollins.
Hey, it's Sonny. It's Tammy, son of Cinch, everybody. What the fuck? I've been smoking way too many cigarettes. Oh, shit.
And that's when Ben Shapiro shows up and he's like, the world does not revolve around Sonny.
Oh my god, dude.
The metaverse doesn't care about
We got a show tomorrow. We're going to do Frank and Gus. Got a bunch of shit to talk about on there. I know we got a fun bunch of topics. Maybe we can even do our homework and watch Everything is All White. Have you seen the trailer for that yet? Everything is All White.
I don't have time for this homework.
You?
I don't have time for this homework. I got to go into, dude, I got to go into another dimension.
But much love to everybody for supporting us. Make sure to check us out on Patreon, www.patreon.com/wrestlingsoup or patreon.com/wrestlingsoup. We are officially on Spotify. Now we're at the point where all of our old episodes are being carted over. So nobody should notice anything directly just yet. But it is done. The contract has been inked. And now we're actually getting the physical stuff, the physical media taken over there. Much love to all the shows supporting us. The RCWR show, Ledge Wrestling Podcast, of course, Kevin Castle on Wrestling Soup Tuesdays. Fucking fantastic show. Love doing shows with him. He does Castle and Chicky as well. And then, of course, you've got John Draper. Check out his show, Break the Apocalypse. Make sure to check out the Don Tony and Breakfast Soup. I'm on there Mondays and Tuesdays.
And, or I like to call them Drew's Days.
Drew's Days? Yes. Of course, Drew Yari. Check out Jeff Lippman, the Drew Yari Show. And Jeff Lippman does Garden of Doom. He actually just did an episode on crypto. So that should be kind of fun to listen to. Kind of interested in to see what gentle guests he has on there doing shit. So anyways, for that, I'll probably see everybody on the weekend too. I don't know if you're going to watch the NWA pay-per-view, and I know we really didn't talk about it, but I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, there's a football game on Sunday I need to watch.
No, Saturday.
That too.
You're just going to stare in front of the screen for a weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's another. Well, that's in the second dimension.
Yeah.
That's in the other one. That's in the metaverse.
So you'll know who wins before they actually win.
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to bet on it.
Oh.
Otherwise, Alberto Del Rio comes and kills me.